you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, she's got a lot of things on her mind to talk about, She's taking care of her voice, so you know that she's not going to shout now. So get your headphones ready to hear what it's all about.
Anxiety's really having a moment. It's in the zeitgeist and all these other buzzy things I hear the media saying as though anxiety is the new hot accessory to have for 2021. But for people with anxiety, that can make you feel even more alone. Why is that? Because no one's really talking about it. Until now. I'm Jen Kirkman, host of the Anxiety Bites podcast, premiering on Wednesday, October 6th.
We all have times when we're anxious. And when we worry, for example, that can actually feed back and basically kick in our adrenaline that makes us more anxious.
I'm not a mental health professional. In fact, I'm a comedian and a writer, but I've had generalized anxiety disorder, panic disorder, and multiple phobias for decades. I also have a lot of recovery. So I'm an expert in having anxiety. And my attitude is, I seriously have anxiety, but I don't have to treat anxiety so seriously. So join me every week as I have conversations with esteemed experts in the field of anxiety or even other artists with anxiety as we talk honestly and factually about what anxiety even is and how we put it in its place.
The more you know about how your mind works, the more you'll be able to work with it.
I wanted to start this podcast because I think it's important to normalize conversations about anxiety. I want people who think they're going crazy, who think they're the only one who's ever felt that way, who think they're beyond help, to know that that is totally normal and not true.
The important thing to understand is that what you feel is not in your body. It's actually in your brain. Your brain is modeling your body in the world.
I wish this podcast had existed when I was younger, although that would have been weird because there was no internet and I would have been like, what is this? And that probably would have given me anxiety, but you know what I'm saying.
We're stronger than we think we are. And that's what I love to tell people. Like, you can handle so much more than you think you can handle.
Anxiety Bites premieres Wednesday, October 6th. Subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And this is your new favorite podcast. No Fun, the Jen Kirkman podcast, episode 407. Did you miss me last week? Did you don't know what you got until it's gone? Last week, there was no episode. I just didn't have the time. But this week, oh, by the way, I am your host, Jen Kirkman. I am a comedian. I am a TV writer. I am an author. But on this podcast, I am just me, Jen Kirkman. Sometimes funny, sometimes serious, but always real. I know the topics I'm going to talk about
but I don't know how it's going to come out or what might pop into my head. It's a conversation with a friend where you say nothing. Just sit back and relax. There aren't competing voices, people talking over each other. It's just you and me. So go make your salad or walk your dog or do your laundry or take a walk or put your headphones in when you're on the plane. Whatever you're doing, I'm there with you. Now, if you notice right now, I've been talking for 1 minute, 3 seconds. But if you are a subscriber to my Patreon, you've already gotten 15 minutes of this episode. I'm telling a story about, well, I'm not even going to tell you. You'll have to go join. The link is in the show notes, patreon.com/Jen Kirkman. The Patreon subscribers keep this podcast alive. So you can be one of them because I do not tour anymore. And so the Patreon is 1/3 of my income. And that used to be that income that Patreon is what I used to tour. Oh God, what am I, you know what I'm saying? I have three jobs usually, touring, some kind of writing job, and random splashes of other things. The touring has been replaced with the Patreon. Please join. It is how I survive. And that is not a joke or an exaggeration. So there you go. Enjoy that. This week, what are we talking about? Who fucking knows? I'm going to talk about Russell Brand's recent dipping into conspiracy theories that he doesn't think are conspiracies. He thinks he's got all the information. I'm going to retell a story that I hope if there's new people, I need you to know about the time I saw his poop. That's right. I'll talk about that. I'm going to talk about my week in New York City, which I am recording this episode in my hotel room in New York City. And there's another root canal coming, people. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Whew. So, let's just start where we start. I'm in New York. I am going to a job there, second week in November, 20-week job, but the weeks are not consecutive, if that makes sense. And in the past, I would get an Airbnb that would rent to me for the month, and to be honest, that is more expensive than just getting your own damn apartment. And there was something about going home every night after work, being tired, and it's not your stuff. It's not your couch. I always stayed in those kind of Airbnbs where the people owned the place and furnished it for the purpose of renting it out as an Airbnb, but it still wasn't my stuff. Or the people did live there, but they were going to Europe for 6 months and they took a lot of their stuff, but they would lock the closet and there would be no room to put my things. And I would just be living out of suitcases, even though I was gone for, again, you know, months and months at a time. It's weird to live out of a suitcase if you're not just on vacation for 5 days at a beach and, you know, you're just packing your bathing suit, which never wrinkles. Why can't they make everything out of bathing suits? Why don't they make the plane out of the bathing suit? You know those jokes about the black box? The thing that's the only thing that's ever recovered after a plane crash. That was a big joke in the 1980s. Why don't they make the whole plane out of the black box? I mean, it's a good question. It's not a good question. The answer is because you can't. But that was my, why don't they make bathing suits? Thank you, everybody. This is not a comedy podcast. It's just a podcast. Anyway, so for anyone looking, the reason my water bottle is, the water looks black is I put chlorophyll drops in it. Anyway, so that's right. I'm trying to turn into a plant. So I decided I'm going to officially be bi-coastal. And, you know, it's not cheap and it's scary, but I'm going to decorate my little New York place that I signed a lease on in Brooklyn in a way that is sparse but cute and curated so that it almost feels like a funky boutique hotel you know, it's a small place. It's like a big studio apartment with an alcove for the bedroom, but there's no like separate door, which doesn't matter because, again, it's me living there alone. But if I have friends over, it's not like, here's my bed. It's next to the sink, you know. So, and by friends over, I mean 1.5 people so that we can all fit comfortably. No, it's actually a pretty good size. But anyway, my point is so that I can Airbnb it out when I'm not there. My place in LA, ain't nobody touching that place. That place is lived in. I don't want some weird Airbnbers having sex in my bed. I don't want a single person masturbating in my bed. I don't want people going to my bathroom, and my building doesn't allow Airbnb anyway, and they would find out because we're a tight-knit community. But I am excited. I signed a lease. I haven't signed a lease ever on a New York apartment when I think about it, because the last time I lived here, I just moved in with a friend. She had an empty room. So this was, I don't know, I feel like I was doing something at age 47 that most people have done earlier in life. I don't know why I always have to bring that up. Like, oh, I should have done this earlier. No, I shouldn't have. I didn't need to earlier. So this is when I did it. What's my problem? Why am I putting myself down? But you know, I got to tell you, I feel so much better being in New York. Post-pandemic, you know, my depression kind of came back during the pandemic. No probs, you know, that shit comes, it goes. A lot of times it is circumstantial. But lately I had been not depressed, like, oh, boo-hoo, sad, but the actual definition of the word, depressed. I felt unmotivated. I felt literally like those sweaters that you put in those bags and then the air gets sucked out and you put them under your bed so that moths don't get in them and there's plenty of room. I felt like that, like someone just sucked the air out of me and folded me under a bed. And even after I got the vaccine, I thought maybe it was a little bit that, you know, we get vaccinated and then these freaks don't get vaccinated and here comes Delta and now we still have to wear masks and we can't really go anywhere. You know, that is definitely part of it. But there's something about LA that if you're not into the bright, bright sun and driving everywhere, there's no just walking outside and feeling stimulation. I walk outside, it's dead quiet, which is lovely on one hand. But on the other hand, if I want to, I don't know, just like I actually enjoy someone walking down the street with kind of like one of those luggage carts with a giant speaker on it, listening to their obnoxious music. I think that doesn't bother me. Every once in a while, you're just walking by someone in New York City and they've got their reggae playing. They're just like, that's not even reggae, but, and you're just like, God bless it. I don't know what kind of mood this guy's in that he can't just put it on his headphones. He needs us to experience it. Okay, I need to smell street food smells. I don't need to smell urine, but luckily you can put your mask on. But once I got in New York, and again, I don't have a ton of friends left here. I mean, it's not like I was out and about with people all the time. I saw a couple of people I knew, but it was just the energy of the city, you know? It was really just, I'm ADD, I need constant stimulation, and I felt that feeling that I wanted to you know, talk to my psychiatrist about what the next time we meet, where I go, I don't know, do I need more meds? What's happening? It lifted. And I realized when I'm busy and there's stimulation, that takes care of a lot of sort of that just that lack of motivation. LA is a great place, but you really have to be completely motivated if you're in like a mild depression and there's really just nowhere to go, if that makes sense. You have to have somewhere to go or someone to meet up with. There's no just walking around. Anyway, it just, New York always has worked better for me on some level. And I was excited to be here this week and I just had the best time. And I got to stay in my favorite old neighborhood on Ludlow Street because my hotel that I stayed in, I had points. It was like 7 nights free. I mean, that is the best. There's nothing better than not paying for your room and just feeling like, oh, just no stress on that. Because I had so many points built up from the years I traveled, but nowhere to have traveled during the pandemic. So my flight was free and my hotel was free. There's no better feeling. I don't even have a funny story about it. Just this fucking story. But I signed my lease. I am in a building that's brand new. No one's ever lived in my unit before. I like that. That says to me, no bugs, no mice. Seventh floor, that also says no bugs, no mice. Although I will say this, I'm not going to be surprised about anything because the moment that the veil was lifted and I realized life is hard, there's no protection from anything, you cannot live in a glamorous enough building, you cannot be rich or famous enough to be protected from mice. Now, I am not rich and famous. I am known by some and have an okay savings account. That's how I put it. But Madonna, this is a story about Madonna. Madonna was doing, now a lot of people will say, oh, well, when I went to war, you know, the veil was lifted. You know, I just saw the cruelty of life. You know, when I was an ER nurse during COVID, my veil was lifted. For me, I never had these kind of experiences. So it's going to be stupider shit for me where I realize, oh my God, life is so uncertain. And for me, it was this moment. A couple years ago, I'm watching Madonna on YouTube. She's doing a live Q&A. And I love when Madonna, well, I don't always, but when Madonna realized, there must have been a day when she realized, I need to fucking do social media. And I would have loved to see just, not because I don't like her, I love her, but I, in a curious way, I would just love to see the fight she put up. Like, I'm Madonna. I don't have to stay relevant by doing social media. I'll do it by working with these and that artists. And her people were like, no, Madge, you got to be on social media. And she's like, what? And she's like, I don't know. Tell me what to do. So one of the things she was doing was this YouTube live Q&A. And she's in her penthouse in New York. She's got this beautiful brownstone. I mean, it's literally an entire city block. It's somewhere on either the Upper East or Upper West Side. And she's in her bathroom, which is the size of all of your, anyone here who lives in, whether it's a house or an apartment. If it's a house, it's the size of your entire downstairs. And if you live in an apartment, it's the size of your entire apartment. In her glamorous bathroom, which also looks like a parlor, and velvet curtains, you know, hanging over the floor to ceiling windows, and their curtains are drawn, and she's sitting there with her drink and she's answering her YouTube questions. And on the particular video that I watched, somebody had circled, I don't know how you kids do it. You're so creative. You somehow get, you know, the doodle art and you put it on a video that already exists. Someone had put a red circle and slowed down this portion of the video. You could see a mouse running under her velvet drapes, running along the baseboard right behind her. Madonna has a mouse in the house. And it was a New York City mouse. It wasn't, oh, that's her kid's, you know, science experiment. No. Oh, the hamster's loose. No. This was a New York City mouse. And not even being Madonna can prevent that. But now the thing about me is, though, that just blew my world, because I was like, wow, even if I get to Madonna level, which, you know, I think it's a little late now, but even if I get to Madonna level, I could still have a mouse. Now, good news is she has like probably a live-in staff and she's got kids and, you know, she can ask other people to remove the mouse. And that's where I get scared moving into an apartment in New York, is I ain't got no staff. You know, I can't ask anybody to remove the mouse. And so that's why the prospect of a studio apartment where the bed is near the kitchen, that scared me. Whereas, like, you know, I needed like a bigger space so that I don't see the mouse in the middle of the night. Now, I don't think there's going to be one. I'm knocking wood. I'm just saying. Maybe I'll try. You guys just find that YouTube video. It's just called like Madonna Q&A or something. I'm sure she didn't do too many of them. If I was to interview Madonna, if I had my own talk show, that's the kind of question I'd ask her. I'd be like, can I show you something? Did you know there was a mouse behind you in this video? Like, what the fuck's up with mice in your place? Don't you, wouldn't you watch that show? You should pitch a show. I'm not pitching a show. I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
I love New York. I want to tell you guys a story, but I'm hesitant because I don't want to get emails and get canceled. And it's just like, I'm just going to tell, look, listen, this is who I am. This has really happened. You want to be mad? Be mad. A man looked maybe like having a little drug problem, a little, you know, not doing so well. Unhoused, I'm sure he was. Kind of an effeminate guy. Is he gay? I don't know. But I'll just say kind of an effeminate guy who mentioned, I mean, I think he's gay. But anyway, he came up to me and goes, honey, can I just, first of all, I love the people who ask for money in New York, homeless, unhoused, whatever you want to say, literally always have this beautiful spirit of peace and love and bless you and how are you doing today, darling, and all that stuff that I just appreciate where it's like, I don't even think my own family's asked me how I'm doing this year, and yet this homeless dude just did. Anyway, this guy comes up to me. He's like, hey, darling. He's like, oh, my God, I love Ludlow Coffee. I was holding a cup from the Ludlow Coffee Supply, and he goes, I get asked for a little bit of money. He goes, I'm tired of sucking dick for money. And I just said, straight women are tired of doing it for free. Come on, that's fucking funny. And he fucking burst out laughing. And I do carry cash on me. Young people are always like, who carries cash? That was a big thing going on Twitter a little while ago. And I mentioned how people don't know how to give change correctly. They put the coins on top of the bill and try to balance it and hand it to you. And I'm like, this is a mess. That's not how you do it. Anyway, everyone was like, who carries cash? And I just don't understand that young people think that that's a cool thing to say. You carry cash to give it to people that don't have money. And also, you can't be a totally cashless society. It's not inclusive. Whatever. Fuck you all. Cash is great. Anyway, so I gave him a few bucks. That's what I had on me. I don't want anyone writing in, you didn't make fun of the pink. Fine. Take my podcast away. Cancel me. Everyone run in the other direction. Jen made a joke about sucking dick to a homeless guy. Then she called him homeless. And the real word for that now is unhoused and down one room by three divided by two. And a human on earth, you know, whatever. Can I just tell a funny story? No, I can't. Am I turning into one of those people that's like, everyone's trying to cancel me? Everywhere I went, they asked for my vax card. I loved it. And a few places that were really good at their job asked for my ID and my vax card. And I was like, oh, I see what you're doing because you want to make sure I'm not just borrowing a friend's. I appreciated that. And I got so excited. I was at the Ludlow coffee shop and they did that. And I said, thank you so much. This is great. And they just stared at me like, okay. But they don't do that in LA. They don't even ask for vax cards now. And it's a little, you know, it's a little too loosey-goosey for my taste in New York City. There is some indoor happenings. You know, restaurants are open indoors, obviously. But you have to be vaccinated to come in. But nobody's wearing a mask, not even the staff. In LA, everyone's wearing a mask at all times. The staff is wearing a mask. We do this weird performative thing. If we walk in with a mask on and then we sit down and take it off where we're sitting and eating and expelling air for 2 hours. And then we put it back on the way out as though like, what? Not passing COVID as I walk through. Did just sit and had my, you know, air pushed out and circulated, whatever. But for some reason in LA, we're not asking for vax cards yet. I think it's going to start, or maybe it started when I was gone. But you know, with this Delta and breakthrough cases and blah, blah, I didn't feel great about being indoors without a mask on. I only did it once for like an hour and I was like, no, I'm not into this. But there were so many. It's just so beautiful now. Every restaurant has built out these beautiful outdoor seating areas and it's really cute. Anyway, and so I'm 6 months past the vaccine. You know, it's been 6 months since my second shot. I feel like I'm in a priest. It's been 6 months since my last confession. And, you know, I know not everyone's vaccine wanes after 6 months, but I feel like, you know, if I was just sitting at home and maybe going to a friend's house, sitting inside their living room, like I wouldn't be as paranoid, but I'm like flying around and my parents are coming to visit next week and then we're going to Palm Springs and I'm going to a wedding and then I'm going back to New York. So I want to get, I feel like Joe Biden is low key going, if you feel you need a booster, fucking get one. I really do. And I have been doing my own research. No, not, I'm not doing my own research, trust me. But I do feel that the CDC is more crowd control and less science. And Joe Biden is saying, look, we have the boosters. This isn't like when the vaccine first came out and we had to first give it to the elderly and then to the healthcare workers and then to the, like, just go get it. And I got a like sort of an interesting email from my health insurance in California that said, if you have a compromised immune system, use your own discretion about getting a booster. Now that is different language. See, because I have asthma. Now here's the problem. Asthma is not officially a compromised immune system. My immune system doesn't suck because I have asthma. However, I've never had just a cold in my entire life. Every cold I have becomes walking pneumonia or bronchitis or an upper respiratory infection. I'm sick for usually 4 weeks. Two of those weeks, I'm completely incapacitated and it gets really scary. I have to take rounds of steroids, steroid inhalers. So I'm afraid if I catch this COVID cold that it's really going to be a doozy for me with the asthma. And I was reading a thread on Twitter where this woman was like, fuck this shit. I'm just going to get a fucking booster because I have asthma. And if I get a breakthrough case, it is not going to be just, oh my God, it was 2 weeks of the worst flu in my life, which by the way, who wants that anyway? So I'm just saying, I don't think I'm going to wait the 8 months. And again, I'm just letting it all hang out in this episode. You can yell at me, scream at me. This white woman is dead. Good, good, good. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. So anyway, my parents got boosted because they're over 80 and they were allowed to. And God bless my parents who believe in the science and they like a vaccine. But because of all this, you should get one. You shouldn't get one. Maybe this, maybe that. And again, I'm not blaming anybody or saying, you know, I don't understand how science works or how, like, you know, again, the CDC is not just science. They got to kind of crowd control everything. You know, like, they don't want us. I don't know. I don't actually know at this point why they're whatever. I don't even care. This is boring. So my parents go get the booster. But they said they were like for 2 seconds, just had a little bit of anxiety getting it because they were just, you know, they don't know what the side effects would be. I mean, they did know because they already had the vaccine, but they just, I don't know. It was like a new concept to them that they're getting the third shot for this. And so they had like a few seconds of irrational anxiety. They did it anyway, right? And they had really no side effects, just some chills in the middle of the night. And, but my mom, some sleeplessness and some chills. My dad doesn't sleep that well anyway. He's a restless legs kind of guy. But my mom goes, we got the booster and we was, you know what I mean to be like, I mean, really trust the science, but we were a little scared. So we're sleeping there and your father, I could tell he couldn't sleep. You know, normally when he can't sleep, he gets up, he says, oh, my legs. He goes downstairs and he eats something and, you know, or he's kicking and I'll say, Ronnie, stop kicking. And he'll say, you can't sleep, Joanne. But this time he was not sleeping, but he wasn't saying anything. And I thought he was scared and I started to get scared because I thought I'm having a little bit of chills. And I don't know why I was scared. I knew I was safe, but we just grabbed hands and laid there and held hands in silence. I'm like, why did you act like that elderly couple in the movie Titanic? Or they just laid in bed and held hands as the water was piling up in their cabin. And she, I don't know why we did that. And I said, well, you're okay now. But my mom, you know, she likes a drama. She likes a tale. I think she was trying to tell a tale that something bad happened, but nothing bad happened.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Another guy, I'm eating dinner outside at one of the aforementioned cutesy tootsy restaurants. This guy walks by and he goes, it was actually interesting because I just bought a new taser and new pepper spray a couple weeks ago. And oh my God, they are adorable. You know, the pink, the purple colors for ladies. Because these are products ladies need, because men disproportionately murder and rape women. Oh my God, it's so fun. It's cute. I have one in pink. Anyway, so I have a little purple taser and it makes some noise, baby. It sounds like a bug zap. It's like, but louder. And it makes this like big light. And then I have this other thing that's on my keychain that if I pull it, it's like real loud, louder than a rape whistle. And then I've got pepper spray, which really works. I'm a fucking idiot because I did the dumb thing of when I don't know why I did this. I was so exhausted and I came home and there was a package from Amazon. And instead of just going, I know what's in here, I don't need it right now, let me just open it because I'm being OCD. I mean, not classically OCD, but I do get that way. Like everything has to be done before I go to bed. So I open the box and it's my taser and my pepper spray. And again, so just, okay, put it away. No, I have to put the pepper spray in its little thing and I have to spray it and make sure it works. Now, I could have gone outside on my balcony and sprayed into the air, but I didn't. I stood in the kitchen and I sprayed the pepper spray towards the front door. And yep, it worked. The spray worked great. So I locked it up and I put it in the place that I put it. And then I think I took some dishes out of the dishwasher and then I forgot that I'd sprayed the pepper spray and I walked through it. But I mean, again, I'd sprayed it like 3 minutes earlier and it was, I assume it would have like fallen to the ground and I walked through it and one, like it wasn't as strong as being sprayed in the face with pepper spray, but holy shit, just walking through it 3 to 5 minutes later did something to me because like 2 minutes after that, I was like, and my face was burning, my eye was burning. I was like, oh my God. And so I was like, this shit is really crazy. I didn't realize how powerful it was. You know, mace sounds powerful, but pepper spray sounds cute. Like, might get a little irritated in the eye. Holy shit. Anyway, I thought, should I bring this to New York? Because I'm actually walking around at night in New York. But no, yeah, I'm not going to fly with that stuff. So anyway, I just thought it was ironic because the first night there, I'm sitting there and I'm having dinner and this guy walks by and just offers to me, you know, like you would a Rolex watch that you're selling. He's like, pepper spray? And I go, oh, no, thanks, but thanks for selling that. And he just looks at me like, weirdo. And then he keeps walking and he says like to the man, he's selling something else for the men, like Bluetooth speaker. I don't know, you know, like headphones. And then he just walks by another woman, pepper spray. And then he comes back around like 20 minutes later. And this time he's like, pepper spray, taser, you need a taser? And I'm like, I do actually need pepper spray and a taser. I would like to have some here, but you know, again, it would only have been good for the week. I just appreciated that. I don't know. I'm one of these annoying people that appreciates everything in New York, even though it's like, what that guy's doing is illegal and he's charging too much. Or maybe he's a creep. I don't fucking know. I get a kick out of everyone in this tiny city with tiny homes where even Madonna has a mouse walking around, living out loud, doing their things, selling tasers, selling pepper spray, telling me they're sucking dick for money. I mean, God love this fucking city. You go outside in LA, it's just nothing. Just quiet. You might see someone jogging or walking a dog. Oh, there's a lot less dogs in New York. Or they're just less, like every, if anyone is outside in LA, it is because they're walking a dog. And that's not the case in New York. And, you know, I'm not like a dog fanatic, let's put it that way. Oh, God. But if anyone makes fun of LA, I'm like, go fuck yourself. That's my fucking city. I mean, LA is a wonderful place, but I don't need all that bright light and heat. Anyway, I got to get another root canal. By the time you hear this, I'll have had it. So I guess I'll just wait to talk about it. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I couldn't even get the booster if I wanted because I don't want to get it within the same few days that I got this root canal because I'm going to have a reaction to the root canal, which is when I take the antibiotics, it makes me throw up and the codeine makes me throw up. But if I don't take both, then the thing swells and then it gets infected. So I have to take them and I have no choice and blah, blah, blah. And I'm throwing up and I'm getting dehydrated. And I'm not going to get a booster and then get all that. The last time I had a root canal was the day after my second COVID shot. And I was sick for a week and I didn't know what was what. I still to this day have no idea what was COVID symptoms and what was reactions to the meds from the root canal. So I'm like, here I am again. So I thought I'd talk about Russell Brand. Now, let me tell you one thing. Let me tell you two things. Let me tell you a bunch of things. Russell Brand has always been a fucking idiot. He has always been unfunny. This is my opinion, okay? He has always been a sociopath. So recently, he put up a video of himself. I'm going to play it for you, actually. No, I can't because I'm recording on this computer. I don't even want to play it for you because it's, why do I want to spread disinformation? But he recently, I mean, I'm talking, it's September 28th that I'm recording this. It's like yesterday, the 27th. He posts this video on his YouTube channel. And this like 1 minute clip of it was going around Twitter. That's all I needed to see. He's like, I've got proof that Hillary Clinton created Russiagate. That, you know, I'm not a Trump supporter, but Trump did not. The election was not interfered with by Russia. It was all a conspiracy made up by Hillary Clinton. I'm like, oh my God. So anyway, he's that guy now. But he's always been that guy. Subjectable, accessible. No, you guys know the word and you're screaming it into the fucking iPhone. And some of you are going to email me as though in 14 days, I'm not going to know the word susceptible. So, you know, he's making no sense. Now, the problem is, let's just say one thing about him. Now, I know him to be a really bad person with women, but let's put a pin in that for a second. In general, right, you could say that he's not coming at this from a bad place, and I don't believe he is. The problem with that, however, is that his fans and people that maybe aren't even his fans but are excited that someone on the, he even says himself, he identifies more with the left in the video, that the people that are on Trump's side that think Russiagate was a hoax, now they've got this guy to back him up. And then the people on the left that are always harassing me for talking about, you know, Russian disinformation. It's just not good. Doesn't matter how nice he presents it and how he thinks he's trying to help the world. It's doing a bad thing because it's giving red meat to people who are not going to talk about it in a kind way. And people who get really riled up and no longer believe in democracy, no longer even know how to interpret the news, who's lying to them. Now you get this comedian saying, you know, I'm the only one you can trust, and don't ever say that I'm doing that because I never say shit like that. But anyway, so what everyone is saying is, oh my God, he used to be so smart. No, he didn't. When? 10 years ago when he said people shouldn't vote? When was he smart? When was he smart? He's recently been against the vaccine and against wearing masks. He doesn't, he's one of those people that is like, come to my show without a vaccine, without a mask. I don't care. He's low-key starting a cult. He's doing these yoga classes and all this shit. I mean, the dude is a strange freak. And then a lot of people go, you know, he's an addict. He's a recovered addict. And you know, sometimes they're susceptible to conspiracy theories. No, no. A lot of my best friends are recovering addicts. And they did not replace drugs with conspiracy theories. And they're also not sociopaths. And they also haven't mentally abused women. And there are rumors of Russell Brand that all the comedians I know, my friends in London, sexual abuser. So here's the thing. I've never liked the guy. I've always thought he was snaky and smarmy. The only thing I liked about him is he had a tuxedo cat named Morrissey. I mean, if that's not on, quote, brand with what Jen Kirkman likes, I don't know what is.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
So my new favorite thing is to make videos pretending to be Russell Brand, because I used to just pretend to be him for no reason. In conversation with people. I'm not saying I sound like him at all. It's just funny to do his weird accent, even though I don't do it very well, but I think that's even funnier. Anyway, so now I'm getting harassed for, for making fun of him, but it is going to be, I predict, my life's greatest work is making fun of Russell Brand. I just never liked the guy. So here's my Russell Brand story. I never liked the way he, well, first of all, he was on Chelsea Lately. Now that show ran like clockwork. The show was a half hour show on the E! Network. That is half hour with commercials. So we are taping a 22 minute show. It is tight, 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 tight. There was barely any editing. The only editing we did on the show was really, if somehow we went 30 seconds over, we would find ways, 5 seconds here, 5 seconds there. Maybe if someone's joke didn't go that well, just to clip, to keep the integrity of the show. But if you went to a live taping of Chelsea Lately and you watched it that night, you'd be like, yeah, this is exactly the same. Tight, tight ship. We have had some A-list guests. We've had Jennifer Aniston. We've had Reese Witherspoon. We've had Dave Grohl. We've had A-listers. They were never late. They never demanded anything. And it was a very low-key production in that sense that the year that Russell Brand was on, our offices were located in Santa Monica, California, which is closest to the ocean, like about a mile from the ocean, which is pretty far from most production studios. A lot of stuff is in the valley, so we didn't have a lot of stuff around us. You know, there was a Coffee Bean kind of kitty corner to our studios, but we taped at 3 p.m. and there was nothing in that area that stayed open. There was like restaurants that were lunch only, breakfast and lunch only for workers, but at night they weren't open. And so there just wasn't a lot of places you could get things for people from. I'm making it sound like it was like 1801. We had to get a mule and then he had to go into town. But it was like that in the modern sense. And so, you know, we had things in your room. You know, there was alcohol if you wanted it. If you were a guest, there was bottled water, obviously. There was coffee. And, you know, I'm in my office and we had the live feed of the show on the TV. And the show taped from 2:30 to 3. And I'm sitting there and it's like 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I'm like, we're supposed to have the guest, you know, is Russell Brand. I'm like, is he late? And they were telling me, no, he's here. He won't come out of the dressing room. And, you know, he wasn't on drugs and he was sober. And he demanded that people get him this like triple dipple cappuccino kind of coffee thing at the Coffee Bean across the street. But then he didn't want that and he didn't want this. And he needed the coffee, but then he couldn't come out for a while because he had to do a bunch of things after he had the coffee. I don't know what he was saying. He was saying, I actually can't remember it. And, you know, there were little coffee machines in everyone's dressing room, but that wasn't good enough for him. So there was never a guest ever that held up the show for an hour. Even Rick Springfield, who was a fucking mess at the time of that we taped his episode, which was well over a decade ago. He showed up with 2 flat tires on his car and he was still on time. So anyway, I think Chelsea was just unimpressed. I think she thought he was like a total dick. And I just thought, I hate people like him that do this kind of, I'm a guru, I'm smarmy marmy, and like, oh, I used to be an addict, and now I'm like peace and love, and it's like, you're not, you know, like, if you want to be like, oh, I'm a fucking asshole, be an asshole. Like, I don't care. You know, like, be, I don't know. I'm trying to think of an asshole, but I don't want to call anyone an asshole. But you know what I mean? If you're like the bad boy of comedy or the bad boy of music, like, go ahead. Like, be the bad boy, you know? But don't be a hypocrite. That makes me crazy. So I never liked him. And that was whenever that was. It had to have been like 2008, 2009, because we moved to the new studio in like 2011. Or no, maybe it was like 2011. We moved to the new studio 2012. Anyway, cut to, I think it's 2012, 2013. I'm doing a show at one of my favorite places in Los Angeles, Largo. And Russell Brand is the headlining act. Now, he doesn't book the comedians. He was just there to do his stuff. And Flanagan, the owner, booked me on the show. And I remember thinking, well, this will be interesting. Because at this point, I'd always hated him. I didn't like his comedy. I didn't like his smarmy snake body with his deep V and his long necklaces and his leather pants. I mean, I'm prone to wear leather pants on stage. But he was just, I just got a bad sense from him. And I had so many friends that were like, no, he's good. He wrote this book, An Addiction. And I was like, I like that he's advocating that addicts get treated like sick people and not criminals. But is there anyone else who can speak to this? Does it have to be him? Do we have to excuse everything he does because he's made some good points speaking to Parliament? You know what I'm saying? So I was like, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut about this guy. So I'll give him a chance at the Largo. And I'm backstage and he just looks through you with those crazy ass eyes. How has he not played Charles Manson in a biopic? Not that we need another biopic about Charles Manson. I don't even know if there has been one. But like, prime candidate. I mean, he feels like that. Like when I looked into his eyes, it frightened me. And he's backstage, he's ignoring everybody. And you know, Largo's not that kind of place. They have a lot of celebrities roll through. You might have like a Judd Apatow on stage one night, and you're all backstage, you're all in these tiny little, you know, shared dressing rooms, and everybody kind of becomes friends for the night and you chat. And it's the environment that Flanagan, the owner, almost demands. You know, you don't get to be a little prima donna, a little fuckface, but he was. And so Russell's manager or handler or some dude was backstage with him. Anyway, there is a tiny, I'm talking about your knees touch the door if you sit on the toilet, tiny bathroom backstage at Largo that every performer uses. There's no better bathroom for more famous people, right? There's just that one little bathroom. And when the door is shut, it's obvious that someone is in there. And I didn't know where Russell was or where anybody was. But I had to pee. And so the door wasn't shut all the way. But it's usually kind of swung wide open. So I knocked and said, is anyone in there? There was no answer, but I could hear someone in there, so I didn't go in. Now, there's no way he didn't hear me because, again, this is a tiny bathroom where there's a crack open and it's a very flimsy wooden door. Is anyone in there? No answer. So I moved to the side because there's this sort of little like kitchen nook that you can stand in, and I just started, you know, opening the fridge and get myself a water. Out comes Russell Brand out of the bathroom, and he just makes eye contact with me in that scary Charles Manson face and keeps walking with his little leather pants on. And I'm like, thanks. And he says nothing. And I walk into the bathroom. I still literally gag thinking about it. There was a bunch of poop in the toilet. No toilet paper. So he has done poop. He hasn't wiped and he didn't flush. Now he left his phone and notebook on the sink. So if you went, well, maybe he brings his own handy wipes or something. Well, he didn't leave those on the sink. So Flanagan comes over to me And I'm like gagging in the hallway. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, he pooped in the toilet. He's like, oh my God. So he flushes the toilet for me. He's like, oh, maybe you forgot. I'm like, oh no, that was deliberate. I knew right away. I said, I was telling this story to everyone and anyone who would listen. And everyone and anyone would go, well, maybe he forgot to flush. He was nervous. Maybe he gets stage fright. I go, it was deliberate. He wanted the person who knocked on the door to smell and see his poop. And what's with the not wiping? And so then when I went in the bathroom and peed, I looked into the trash can in the bathroom. There was nothing in it. So it's not like he wiped and threw it in the trash can. So there were a couple comedians who I told this story to that were like completely believed me. These dudes. Ironically, one of them is not my friend anymore because of Bernie Sanders. And this guy is like obsessed with Bernie and thinks Hillary Clinton is a who knows what and whatever. Like has the same exact politics as Russell Brand now does. But anyway, so this one guy though, I told him and he's like, oh my God. So he did a show the next week at Largo. Russell Brand was in town for a while doing kind of a residency. The same thing happened to him. And he was like, Jen, it was exactly as you said. Poop in the toilet, no toilet paper, stared me in the eye. And so he and I told this story to anyone and everyone that would listen. And it never went viral. It never went anywhere. But to me, I didn't think of it as then I went back in my brain. Oh, he needed that coffee at Chelsea Lately because he has to poop before he goes on stage. Now, that's fine. If you have some weird thing, you got to poop before you go on, that's fine. But it is some ritualistic thing around feces. And I always feel like sociopaths or psychopaths have something going on with feces. I can't prove it. I'm going to Google it right now. Because this is I'm going to put psychopaths. Psychopaths and their own feces. Let's just see if there is anything. Signs someone you know is a psychopath in disguise. Ooh, 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 ooh. I hope this talks about feces. Oh, come on, come on. God damn it. No, but he's got a lot of these, but come on, poop. Anything about poop? All right, maybe I jumped the gun too much on clicking on the first thing. Okay. Do psychopaths have a fascination with bowel movements? Somebody asked this. Oh, somebody yelled at this woman for asking. No, what the hell are you talking about? This guy just starts yelling at this woman on Quora going, my friends have Asperger's. And I'm like, okay, but we're not talking about that. We're not talking about them. They say it could be a trait of borderline personality disorder. Okay, guys, I know this is, are there any psychiatrists out there? Please, iseemfun@gmail.com. Can you tell me, is there anything about, okay, let's try sociopaths. Sociopaths and feces. Sociopaths spread poop on walls and furniture. Okay, he didn't do that. He didn't do that. What a great guy. See, he is. I told you. He put his poop in the toilet, not on the wall. He's amazing. You're horrible. Oh, well. Anyway. I'll be interested to see. He seems to be having a renaissance, and he seems to be becoming a cult leader. He will start a cult. This is my prediction for Russell Brand in the next 5 years. His wife will leave him. He will use a cult, or he'll leave his wife. I don't know what's going on with that woman and who she is and why she wants to be with him, but he will use this yoga and meditation class that he teaches. He will sexually manipulate the women like that hot yoga guy did. Bikram, and he will be exposed for it. And that's where he'll be first Me Too'd, and then it'll, I don't know if it's going to trace back to his original Me Too's, but he will do something. He'll actually like start a cult. Something. He'll get big in America again, and something to do with sleeping with all of his devotees. So that's, and something, I don't know what. So that's going to happen within the next, I said 5 years. I'm going to give it two years. And in some way, he will disrupt the American 2024 election. You heard it here first on No Fun, the Jen Kirkman podcast. That is my big prediction. My dad keeps sending me the same information. We need to be in the hotel by 1:30 in Palm Springs so we can register. I know, Daddy. I know. Hang on one sec, guys. I have to send an email to my producer, Tony, because I forgot to send him something. And now it's here. And now I have to send it. So you're going to have to entertain yourself. Whoops. Yes, it is that file. And here is the description. September 29th. No episode is no fun. Okay, great. Oh, here we go. All right, everybody, let's read some listener emails. Let's read some listener emails here. No fun, my name. No fun. No fun. No fun podcast emails. Sorry. Jen, huge fan of you and the podcast and love all the Patreon bonus videos. Thank you. Thank you. Oh. Hey, all, if you join the Patreon at the $5 level this week, first week of October, there will be every week there is a 20-minute bonus audio episode about something going on in celebrity or pop culture. I'm not sure what I'm talking about yet, but it will drop. It will drop the first week of October. Okay, Jen, huge fan of you and the podcast and love all the Patreon bonus videos. I visited the Museum for Contemporary Art in Chicago last weekend and bought a funny book called Men to Avoid in Art and Life. And I started reading it on the plane only to find that the foreword was written by you. I later realized your name is on the cover. Yes, there's a really funny book. It's like a tiny little coffee table book called Men to Avoid in Art and Life. It's a picture book that this really funny girl that I met from Twitter, Nicole, wrote. I wrote the foreword for the book. I don't get paid for it. That's not a slam on anyone. That's just not how writing forwards work. So buy it to support Nicole. Yeah, and it's really cute. You'll love the book. Anyway, the book and your foreword are incredibly entertaining. It was really fun. Surprised to find more JK content in the wild. I can't remember what episode, but a while back you talked about people just not getting what your profession is and if any other professions can relate. Well, I'm a full-time artist, and while I have the most supporting and encouraging mother, she is constantly trying to give me ideas on how to make it, even though I've been doing this successfully for 5+ years. All her ideas involve me totally switching paths from my current art business, like going back to get my master's degree in art, or learning how to design watches, or selling silk scarves. Or working for some woman she met at a conference who sells industrial signage. I'm not exaggerating. These are real examples. I know she means well, but it's also a bit insulting for her to never quite believe that what I'm currently doing is enough and that I do feel like I've made it. No matter how many times I try to explain to her that my career is going well, she's always focused on finding the next thing I should do instead. I give her a pass because she's my mom and I know she cares about me, but I've realized that some people will just never get it. Hearing you speak about it gave me a weird sense of comfort. Like, if someone as successful as you still has weird interactions with people not understanding your success and profession, It's probably just something that happens to all of us creatives. Anyway, love your work. Warmly, Courtney. Well, Courtney, I am not successful. That's why it happens to me. I'm not saying you're not successful, but I'm saying because I am a comedian that the doctor doesn't recognize, she thinks, how could this person be successful if I don't recognize her? Like in my world, people think you can't possibly make money as a comedian unless you're famous. And in a way, you can't, but you can still make somewhat of a living. Good story, Jen. I don't even know. These emails are so old. Do I even get into it? I will just tell you guys this. I hope you have all listened to and subscribed to my new podcast, Anxiety Bites, on iHeartRadio. Listen there or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. But the premiere episode came out on Wednesday, October 6th. So I hope you will download and listen. I interviewed a very famous neuroscientist and psychologist and all-around anxiety personality that's out there, Dr. Judd Brewer. So I hope you will take a listen and make it part of your Jen Kirkman catalog. I feel like I have more to say, but I'm looking at my emails and they're coming in and I'm feeling stressed. Oh, boy. Anyway, well, I'm probably canceled after this episode, so, you know, hope you had a good time with me all these years listening to No Fun. It used to be called I Seem Fun. Hey, if you want to go back to the archives, just go to jenkirkman.com and click podcast, and there will be a link there for free. You can go back and listen to the show all the way back to 2013. It is on SoundCloud under I Seem Fun, and you can hear what was going on back then. All right. I appreciate all of your support. I thank you for being listeners. Send me an email, iseemfun@gmail.com. Let me know anything that you think about anything I said in this week's episode. Try to keep it short. I think the problem is a lot of people write me some long things. You know, 3-4 paragraphs is plenty. That way I can read more emails in one episode. Okay. Is this a great way to end an episode with just kind of contemplative silence? All right, until next week, have fun.